Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 system support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. Tested is also sponsored by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
So, our wonderful producer Rebecca Martinez lives in Durham, and because it's Durham, she has a neighbor who plays the flute.
Oh, he doesn't just play the flute. He is a world-class professional flute player. He usually plays the flute solo or accompanied by a piano. His name is Nicolas Duchamp, by the way, and his friends call him Nico.
Well, I grew up in a town named Bordeaux. It's very famous for the wine, because there are a lot of good wine. But there is another reason that region is fantastic. There is a great, great tradition in flute playing there for a long time. Okay, so I wanted to be a flute player. Don't know why, but thanks God, you know, it gave me that passion, really.
So, Rebecca, what you're saying is he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's internationally acclaimed. He spent the last several decades touring Europe, Japan, and North America. North Carolina became his home away from home when the organization Chamber Music Wilmington commissioned his work and helped him get a temporary visa to come live and work in the U.S.
Nicolas is having the kind of immigrant experience you're not likely to hear about in the news, but he's one of countless people whose status is indefinitely affected by the pandemic. I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, a man without a country.
Nicolas set his application to immigrate to the U.S. as an alien of extraordinary ability, a first step toward permanent residency or a green card, was approved by the Immigration Service in 2016, but the process was delayed. Eventually, he couldn't wait, and he had to keep touring internationally.
So, Rebecca, that seems to go against logic or what little I understand about immigration, leaving the country while you're waiting on your green card.
That's true. Same goes for when you're in consular process to immigrate to the U.S. Nicolas had applied for special permission to travel, but it didn't arrive in time, so his application was considered abandoned because he couldn't wait and had to keep touring. But he still had the temporary visa, so he could still live and work in the U.S. and play music abroad, until the pandemic hit.
Yeah, so no one could travel anywhere or go see live music.
Yeah, we all got stuck at home. I spent a lot of time in the backyard, and my backyard lines up with Nicolas's, and I started to hear a lot more flute music coming over the fence than I had before. Nicolas said he welcomed the break from travel initially because it meant lots of time to practice.
You just ask yourself after a while, okay, I'm practicing, I play better because I practice great, but for who? You know, what's the point? So, of course, you do it for yourself, but in general, the destination of an artist is for the other people, you know, is to link people to each other, despite the fact that you can do some stuff online, it's not the same.
For work, Nicolas taught flute lessons over Zoom or in his backyard, and he also spent a lot of time caring for his 4 tanks of exotic fish.
And yes, and they're beautiful and they make you feel quiet because they're quiet animals mostly. And okay, so, and there is one who is really dear to me. I bought it in a store around here. It's a golden Severum cichlid. Yeah, Julie. I don't even know if it's a she or a he, but according to my son, it might be a she, and her name is Julie. So yeah. A little, at the time it was a little tiny yellow fish, and 6 months later it became like, you know, maybe 10 inch long or something like that, but absolutely beautiful. And you know, longer I stayed with the fish, she knows me, she has a lot of personality, so every time she sees me in the morning, she expresses things, and I didn't know it was possible with a fish.
Almost a year into the pandemic, his temporary visa approached the expiration date, and since he's been stuck at home in Durham, he applied for an adjustment of status from the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, which is supposed to let him stay in the country. That was about a month ago, but he still hasn't received a receipt notice of his application or his work permit, which would allow him to keep working.
So receipts are a big deal in immigration. I didn't know how important they are until we talked to a Raleigh-based immigration attorney. His name's Murali Basham. He's not connected to Nicolas's case.
So if I file a case with the Immigration Service, we typically get a receipt notice basically showing that the Immigration Service received the case, you know, and they assign a receipt number to the case, and the case receipt typically comes to us in normal situations in about a couple of weeks, you know, and now in certain types of situations, it's taking months and months, you know, and the uncertainty that creates is enormous. I mean, just think about it. Like if you file a case with the Immigration Service and you have a deadline and you file that case within a certain deadline, but you can't get the receipt notice or confirmation that the Immigration Service is going to actually adjudicate or process that case, you know, what happens if the case gets lost, or what happens if the Immigration Service returns it for a wrong reason? You could fall out of status and be illegal in the U.S. And so there are a lot of folks who are very, very scared right now. And it's literally a result of COVID inefficiency, you know, honestly, from what we're seeing. But what can anybody do about it, you know, other than just file the case properly and hope for the best?
So, Rebecca, I'm curious, is this issue with receipt delays happening to a lot of people?
The American Immigration Lawyers Association released a memo this month reporting major delays in some application receiving facilities. They're called lockboxes. The AILA says the lockbox in Dallas, where Nicolas's application went, is just issuing receipt notices for applications that were sent in October. I called USCIS for a comment, and an email response says it's, quote, taking corrective action to minimize delays.
So what are Nicolas's plans now?
So now that his application has been filed, Nicolas can stay, but getting separate permission to work would be several months away, and he can't wait that long. So his attorney advised him to move back to France, where he'll be allowed to keep teaching flute for a living. The little house he rents is mostly packed up. Julie, the golden fish, has moved to my friend Emily's house.
Wow, so when is he flying back to France?
That's not clear. Soon, I think. Nicolas is worried about getting into the country because of the pandemic. A couple weeks back, the French Ministry of Interior announced a ban on travel from outside the European Union. The website says French citizens must provide a, quote, compelling reason to be allowed back, but it's not clear what counts. Even though Nicolas is mostly packed up, he's worried about buying a one-way plane ticket to Paris and getting stuck on a layover indefinitely.
I'm trying to plan something who might work, but at the same time, I know I can be stuck in New York for a few days, you know, and waiting for another plane might be canceled again, and you know, it's nothing is easy today for anybody.
Yeah, that's what Murali Basham told me too.
The last 4 years have been extremely challenging from an immigration standpoint, even before COVID. The policies of the Trump administration have been very anti-immigration. I mean, that's how we see it and how our clients have experienced it as well. You know, and there has been a heightened level of fear over the last 4 years because of the Trump immigration policies. And a lot of those Trump immigration policies, you know, were, in our opinion, very arbitrary. You know, they really didn't make any sense. If you look at it from an economic standpoint, I personally don't think they made any sense. You know, if you look at it from a family standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. I think that, you know, the U.S. being the melting pot of the world, you know, should be welcoming legal immigrants, you know, absolutely. And it should be done in a much faster way than it's been done in the past. But, you know, with the Trump administration, they obviously had a policy on shutting a lot of these things down, and they did it through executive actions, you know, and not through, you know, Congress. And there was a clear direction on trying to prevent immigrants from coming to the U.S., in our opinion, you know. Now, did that stop immigrants from coming to the U.S.? Absolutely not. You know, the legal system still exists, but perception matters, you know, and the perception, you know, from the U.S. government was that we don't want you here. And so we have seen, you know, people actually leave the U.S. more so in the last 4 years, even if they didn't have to. Like, for example, if they're going through the legal process here and they're legal, they've decided, you know what, we're going to go to Canada. Because you know what Canada did? They completely changed their immigration policy and made it wide open to professionals, you know. And they're like, come here, we'll take you, you know. And Canada did that. You know, a lot of folks who have families in India, China, other countries, it's not like those countries are not good to live in anymore. You can go live, just have a great life there, and they're leaving, you know. That happened before Trump too, but it happened a lot more under the Trump administration. And you add COVID onto that, right? Then you have the administration doing these travel bans, and whether you agree with it or not, it's a different issue, but that creates even more fear, you know, from an immigration standpoint. Is can an administration use a pandemic to take the immigration policy a step farther to restrict it? I think that happened, you know, and it's unfortunate. And hopefully the Biden administration can find the right balance between, okay, travel restrictions that make sense because of COVID and travel restrictions that don't make sense, you know, because of COVID and other reasons. And just do what's smart, you know, for immigration, for the country, and be safe as well, you know, in developing these policies. And hopefully that happens.
So, Rebecca, what's next for Nicolas Duchamp, assuming he can get back to France?
Well, he has family in Paris, including a daughter who is a celebrated ventriloquist, Capucine Duchamp. Look her up. You won't regret it. Nicolas said his lawyer suggested he might have more luck restarting the immigration process through the U.S. consulate in Paris this time around.
I will probably stay there till I get that interview and hopefully get the green card in my pocket and I can be back and do have a normal life here. You know, that's the plan.
So you still want to come back to North Carolina?
Yes, yes. It's a dear place to me. Yeah, I love it a lot.
I'm gonna miss having you as a neighbor.
Yeah, maybe you will have me in another house not too far. Me too, yeah.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Our producer is Rebecca Martinez. Amanda Magnus is our editor. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.